Chapter 8. Heads Held High. Kill Gauntlet. Revival. Barely had the gunships touched down on the platforms than their jets were screaming to be airborne again. Iron Hands debarked from the assault ramps. As soon as they were clear, the aircraft surged into the fog. Tyro, Sybus, and Medjuson met in the eye of the hurricane their ascent left behind. Clad in black warplate, and with his helm locked tight to a wide gorget, Medjuson seemed more vital, more energized than before. The prospect of bloodshed and what might be won was invigorating them all. What had seemed a flight of fancy, a mere dream of vengeance, was now within their grasp. So close, Tyro felt he could reach out and pull it tight to his breast.
"Shahrukin's already down," he said.
"I know. I saw him drop."
"Well, then you've good eyes," remarked Sybus.
"The best," said Medjuson. "Or one, at least."
The circle of clear air, blasted by the Storm Eagles, shrank to nothing around the gathered Iron Hands. 40 from the Iron Heart and 21 from the Sisyphium, 15 of whom were clad as Alpha Legion. They spread out across the platform, weapons extended, though there was no sign their rapid insertion had been detected or observed. Gascon Malthus emerged from the toxic fog to stand by his captain. His implanted flail described a tight circle on its chain of cold iron. Asher Mesan let the ring of rusted service studs clink against his metalled forearm as he dragged his Hebe Messer's edge along the vambrace. The gesture irritated Tyro, but this was not the time to chide another captain's chosen man. Septus Thoic and Vermanus Sybus were unconsciously mirroring the positioning of the two warriors, but where Medjuson's honour guard proudly wore the black of the 10th Legion, Tyro's men were clad as the enemy. Affixed to the edge of their metal-rimmed shoulder guards were crimson oath seals, a throwback to a time when going into battle with a shared oath actually meant something. The wax paper fluttered in the strong wind.
"Everyone filter in non-visible spectra," said Thematica. "You should see the icons in the millihertz range."
Tyro blinked in a filter over his visor, rendering the seals as shimmering blobs of mercurial silver. Thematica had fashioned the icons to differentiate between these faux Alpha Legionnaires and the true traitors. The Iron Hands would see them, but the traitors would not.
"Ready?"
Tyro asked Sybus.
"I am, brother captain,"
said Sybus, slamming a fist to his chest in the old unity salute. Septus Thoic repeated the gesture a second later, adding,
"Today, a Primarch falls."
To hear a warrior clad as a betrayer say that gave Tyro the strangest sensation. Warriors clad as Alpha Legionnaires talking of killing their own genesire. That a schism existed between the legions was bad enough, but the idea of it within a legion, even an enemy one, sent a chill down Tyro's spine. Thematica pointed along the suspended walkway leading from the platform with his servo arms. The blurred outline of an enormous Promethium silo was just visible, vast as a habstack and just as volatile. Pluming vent fires belched from its summit. Lightning drizzled its flanks.
"Follow that line of silos for 3 kilometers until you reach an 8-fold nexus of pipes and cables. Take the northern route onwards that will lead to a pumping station after another kilometer. That's where you'll find the control hub, on the corward side of a refinery built in the form of a stepped ziggurat."
"Like a temple?" asked Sybus.
"Yes, I suppose you could argue that it has something of the fane about it," said Thematica. "Strange how often that happens."
Sybus nodded and clenched a fist above his shoulder. Tyro extended his hand, and they gripped arms as warriors of the 10th Legion had for 2 centuries, wrist to wrist, iron to iron. It felt strange not to actually feel the touch of an iron gauntlet, but even that had to be concealed.
"We'll follow you," said Tyro. 500 meters.
Sybus nodded and said,
Do you remember what I said on Idris after we'd faced the Lord of Iron?
I do, said Tyro, taking the veteran's hand. That after facing a Primarch, any other death would feel small. And do you remember what I said to you?
Don't die. Live forever, said Cybus. Was good advice.
The Avernii champion turned and led the warriors of the Sisypheum into the chemical-rich fog.
March with your heads held high, Medjuson shouted after them. Here you are, Alpha Legion. Let the enemy see that, and this will work.
The disguised Iron Hands vanished into the fog.
You heard, Thoic, said Tyro. Today, a Primarch falls.
Despite being clad in full armor, something his cybernetics barely permitted, Vermanus Cybus had never felt more exposed. Only now, denied the black of the Iron Hands, did he truly understand how much of his identity was bound up in circuits and gears, oil and electromotive power. This armor felt wrong on every level. It moved differently, and the invasive link cables burned in his sockets where they entered his flesh. The visor display glitched with static, as though it knew Cybus were not its rightful wearer, that he was an imposter. He and his warriors followed the metalled roadway that Thematica had indicated, moving through writhing fog banks that made their footfalls echo strangely. Shadows twisted in the heavy smoke. Mechanicum adepts and packs of roving servitors moved through the mist, but upon seeing his armor, they turned away. The route took them between vast cyclopean structures that throbbed with mechanized heartbeats and gigantic columns of iron that exhaled noxious fumes. Hissing pipes threaded overhead, and vulcanized cables transmitted vast quantities of power throughout the platform. A fuel leviathan rumbled on a parallel course, 200 meters in height and 100 wide. Its cliff-like flanks were layered with a patina of rust and corrosion, its interior spaces filled with an ocean of promethium. Cybus tried to imagine the scale of the blast were a high-explosive round to penetrate its armor.
Up ahead, said Thoic.
Cybus dismissed thoughts of the Leviathan's destruction and fixed his gaze forwards once more. Ahead, the roadway approached the eightfold confluence Freighter Thematica had told them to look for. It wasn't empty. Two Mechanicum adepts were held aloft on an ornate palanquin of ivory and jet by 6 servitors in full rebreather kit. Both worked on a pared-back cable run, as thick as a Vindicator's cannon, with hooded plasma cutters that wreathed the assembly in a spectral blue light. Crackling brass wires linked them to a hunched brute of a masked servitor, overburdened with boxy generator apparatus. Neither adept appeared to be armed with anything ranged, but with most of their hybrid anatomy concealed beneath ragged black robes, it was hard to be certain.
Work detail, he said.
Looks like it, replied Thoic. Do we kill them? Well, much as I'd like to, not unless there's no choice.
One adept looked up, and Cybus saw the red gleam of multiple optics. A bark of static screeched from under its hood. Could its Auspex see beneath his stolen armor? His visor tried and failed to translate the scrappy binary. Meaningless symbols scrolled across the display. Were they already undone? His hand slid towards his bolter. The second adept raised a skeletal arm of bare bronze and jade ceramic. It too gave an unintelligible bark of static.
For the Emperor!
Said the first adept, in grating artificial tones.
Alpharius!
For the Emperor!
Repeated Thoic, punching the air with his bolter.
For the Emperor!
Both adepts bowed and returned to their work on the opened cable run, and Cybus gritted his teeth as he copied Thoic's gesture of camaraderie.
This way,
he said, marching from the nexus of cables via its northern exit. His soul felt sullied by allowing the traitorous adepts to believe he shared their loyalty. Every fibre of his being wanted to kill them, to make them suffer, But his orders were unambiguous. They soon left the adepts behind, worming their way deeper into the maze of slab-sided edifices and intestinal loops of pipework. Thus far, every structure Cybus had seen on Lerna 212 was of stolid mechanicum character, blocky and purely functional. Closer to its centre, he saw buildings whose form seemed to have no function. In an octagonal plaza, a pyramid of mirrored glass stood at the centre of a golden circle of inscribed alchemical symbols. Nebulous congeries of light twisted at the pyramid's centre like a miniature galaxy. From somewhere nearby, Cybus heard a strangely musical sound, and for the briefest instant he thought he saw a host of unblinking eyes at the centre of the galaxy. He caught a glimpse of himself in the glass. The indigo blue of his armour disgusted him, and his iron heart rebelled at the treachery of his appearance.
"What do they say?" he asked.
"Say what?" said Septus Thoic.
"For the Emperor." "Why that? They've betrayed him, so why retain their battle cry?"
Thoic considered the question.
"It mocks the loyal legions," he said. "It tells us that no heart is unsullied. It reminds us of who they once were, our kin. They're saying that for the right reasons, any one of us might have chosen their path."
Cybus stared at his reflection as he considered Thoic's words.
"Nah, not any one of us," he said at last. "We all had a choice, Septus. No one forced the Alpha Legion to betray the Emperor. No one put a gun to their head and said they had to do what they've done. And I don't know why, but they chose betrayal over loyalty."
"And there's the rub," said Thoic.
"You don't know. Maybe it's best you don't know."
Cybus nodded and turned from his treasonous reflection.
"Medusa's blood," he swore.
Floating on cushions of repulsor energy 10 meters apart were a pair of armoured speeders with forwards gun mounts bearing heavy bolters. Their frontal plates were dented and dripped with condensed promethium residue. Dust devils danced in the vortices of their intersecting drivewakes. 2 Alpha Legionnaires sat in the bucket seats of each speeder, one at the controls and the other with his hands on the firing grip of the heavy bolter.
"Brothers,"
said Septus Thoic, holding up a hand. Cybus read their hostility. These warriors didn't know them, and a raised hand alone wasn't likely to win them over.
"Spread out,"
he whispered, letting his hand drop to his side. Thoic guessed his intent.
"You can't draw and shoot before those gunners press the triggers," said Thoic. "Remember what Medicine said. March with our heads held high. Here we're Alpha Legion, brothers all."
Cybus forced his fingers to open. He took a breath and swallowed, walking towards the nearest speeder with what he hoped was the confident stride of someone who had every right. One speeder slipped laterally through the air, putting another 5 meters between the 2 vehicles.
"Set arm attacks, Vethin Ranko," said the gunner.
The words were gibberish, an unintelligible argo. Cybus had no idea what the warrior had just asked him. He slowly raised his left hand, tapping it on the side of his helmet.
"Bad fox," he said. "Can't hear you, brother."
Cybus kept walking, closing the distance.
"Set arm attacks, Vethin Ranko,"
repeated the gunner. Cybus shook his head and tapped his helmet again, glancing over at the flanking speeder. Its guns were aimed at his warriors. If he acted now, men would die, and the mission would be compromised.
"Shoot when I shoot," said a voice in his helmet.
Cybus paused. He knew that voice. The gunner on the flanking speeder jerked to the side as the eye lenses of his helmet imploded. His driver's throat blew out in 2 silent impacts. Blood sheeted his chest plate in red, and the speeder turned a slow spiral as he slumped over its controls. Cybus didn't have time to rationalize what had just happened. He had a fraction of a second before the crew of the speeder in front of him recovered. A fraction of a second was all Vermana Cybus needed. His first shot exploded within the chest cavity of the gunner. He took a step to his side and put a mass reactive through the driver's helmet. His warriors spread out to secure the speeders and make sure their crew were dead. Cybus knew for certain they were.
Sharakin, he said. Where are you?
Somewhere I can see what a bad Alpha Legionnaire you make, said the Raven Guard. Throne, you're a terrible liar.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment,
said Cybus, turning a slow circle and scanning the surrounding towers and rooftops for any sign of Nykona Sharukin.
Please, Cybus, you really think you're going to find me?
No. By the way, good shooting.
They made it easy for me. Now, get the bodies and speeders out of sight, said Sharukin. They'll be missed soon enough, but no sense in preempting an alarm.
The Iron Hands dragged the dead Alpha Legionnaires from their vehicles, dropping them into the smoking vent stacks.
And Cybus, said Sharukin, hurry. The Alpha Legion ships are here.
Cybus looked at the speeders.
Hurry, you say?
Working in the Apothecarium, Atesh Tarsa was never alone. The insistent hum of Ulrak Branthan's casket in the adjacent chamber was a constant reminder of another life. His other companion was the bird. It sat on a cabinet of empty oxygen cylinders, silent save for the occasional metallic clatter as it rearranged its wings.
So why didn't you go planetside with Cadmus and Vermana?
Tarsa asked the bird. It didn't answer, of course, and he shook his head.
I don't blame you. Cybus is a man whose company is more endured than enjoyed.
Tarsa worked in an antechamber just off the main vault where Ulrak Branthan lay in repose. The naked body on the slab before him possessed the same transhuman bulk, but was of a different stripe altogether. Bronzed skin marked him as Alpha Legion, though in truth there was little else to differentiate his outward appearance from that of any other legionary. One arm was a painfully crude augmetic, and his right eye was similarly bionic. The disconnected arm sat beside its stump of a forearm, the eye pried loose and hanging over one cheek. The traitor had died painfully, that much was obvious. Mass reactives had taken his right leg, but the real killing blow had been a chainsword rammed up and under the plastron to tear through his heart and lungs. Humming genetic sequences processed blood and tissue samples, marrow cores and brain matter. Initial blood testing had detected curious anomalies in the warrior's neural structure, as well as elevated quantities of neurotransmitters. Tarsa would have a full neurogenetic workup for the dead warrior in a few hours, but in the meantime, he got his hands bloody. Numerous disembodied organs surrounded him. The biscopia, the surviving heart, a shredded scrap of lung, and other esoteric biological hardware. He'd examined them all with scalpels and microscopes, but so far all he had found was exactly what he'd hoped not to find. That this Alpha Legionnaire was, anatomically, identical to him and the rest of the Sisyphean's crew. He turned to face the bird.
Not one deviant trace within his internal structure, said Tarsa, lifting the glossy mass of an oolitic kidney from a blood-spattered bowl.
Ruddy and smooth, it was an organ of engineered perfection compared to what evolution wrought through trial and error.
I hoped, I might find some physiological marker to explain why he turned traitor. Some clue that he was different on some fundamental level.
The bird cawed, a grating bark. Thematica and Wayland had fixed its body, but it seemed they'd forgotten to upgrade its augmitters.
Not in this particular organ, of course, said Tarsa, returning the glutinous mass of the kidney to its bowl. A trace or mutation that might make sense of this madness.
He sat back as the bird flew from its perch behind him and disappeared into Ulrak Branthan's chamber. It cawed again, sounding somehow admonishing.
Yes, I know, said Tarsa, hearing the bird's metal beak tapping on Branthan's casket.
Given the last command Tyro issued before boarding the Storm Eagle, I ought to be on the bridge. But even the least among the Iron Hands knows more about commanding a starship than I do.
Cadmus Tyro had assigned temporary command of the Sisypheum to the astonished Tarser. Technically, Ulrak Brenthan still commanded the vessel, but necessity forced Tyro to cede a degree of control to someone not of the 10th Legion. Foolish, and an obvious move to justify his and Cybus's simultaneous absence from the ship. He sighed and let his gaze travel the length of the dead Alpha Legionnaire. Leaving aside the ruination of his chest, the warrior looked almost peaceful. Tarser recalled something Ignatius Newman had said, questioning if the dead of the Zeta Morgeld were truly dead. The warrior's skin was still bronzed, the pallor of the grave not yet draining him of colour. The melanochrome regulated a space marine's pigmentation, but like all living organs, it would cease function when its host was killed.
"Even my skin will pale when I die," said Tarser,
bending over the corpse and running his gaze from head to toe.
"So why hasn't yours?"
He paused, as his gaze lingered over where the warrior's arm had been severed just below the elbow. A temporary piece, that was how Thematica had described the augmetic. Something wrought in haste and without care that it would bond to its bearer.
"Then why is the amputation scar much older and much cleaner?" said Tarser,
teasing the flesh open with a fine-bladed scalpel extruded from his narthesium. Tarser considered possible explanations for this, but before he could reach a conclusion, the bird cawed again. He ignored it, but it kept squawking, again and again. It filled the apothecarian with its strident cries.
"What is it?"
demanded Tarser, pushing away from the dead body and marching into Branthan's sepulchre.
"What do you want? I have better things to do than—"
The words died in his throat. The stasis field sealing Branthan within his casket had disengaged. Temperature readings were spiking across the board. Every single data slate was in the red, all of them vibrating with silenced alarms. Tarser stared at the Cyber Eagle, its sapphire eyes inscrutable as it perched atop the casket's control mechanisms.
"What did you do?"
cried Tarser.
"Throne, what did you do?"